Now you still have a chopper?
Yes, I have a cane.
Good. Then you maybe you see the dukkha of working every day. Yeah.
Yes.
When you get up, you don't want to. Yeah? You want to get up. Yeah. Yeah? That's the first part of dukkha. Yeah. When you're hungry, there's another part of dukkha. Yeah. when you're thirsty, there's dukkha. Yeah. When you need to go to the toilet, you have dukkha. Yeah. And when you're tired, you have dukkha. Make that clear. It's just the dukkha of the body, yeah? Yeah? And all what we know is, you know, I mean, it's the way how to get rid of dukkha, yeah? Not to understand dukkha, but to get rid of dukkha. When you're hungry, you eat, yeah? When you need to go to the toilet, then you relieve yourself of the shit, you know, of your food, yeah? The rest of the food, yeah? And when you're tired, you go to sleep, yeah? And that's why we don't understand really the first noble truth, yeah? The first noble truth of dukkha. We really do not understand it because, I mean, it happens to us every day, yeah? We don't see it, yeah? And the first noble truth of dukkha, you know, is important, yeah? Because if you don't understand the first noble truth, I mean, nobody wants to find the way out of dukkha, yeah? Huh? And I'm only talking, at the moment, I'm only talking about the dukkha of the body. Yeah? We have not talked about, I don't like this, I don't like that, I want this and I want that. The dukkha of the heart, that is much stronger. Yeah? And it is not so easily, you know, to get rid of it. Yeah? I mean, if you want something, yeah, we need to earn some money to buy it. Yeah? And sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't get it. When we don't get it, we have lots of dukkha. Yeah? When we get it, you know, there's a relief of dukkha until we want the next thing, yeah? And that goes through our life, yeah? And we have to understand that, yeah? We have to see it. We have to really realize what is going on in our life, yeah? But all what we do is, you know, we go from one step to the next step and we are not really aware of what is going on in our life, yeah? I mean, think about the human life. when we are born, what do we do for the first 18 years? We train this body, yeah? We train, yeah, to walk. Then we train to talk. Then we go to school and learn to read and to write and to think, yeah? It takes us 18 years. You remember that time? 18 years to, yeah? Before we can use the body in full strength. Huh? 18 years, huh? Who goes to school for 18 years, huh? 18 years to train this body, and then we can use it, and then we have strength, you know, maybe for 35 years, yeah? And then slowly the body decays until we die, huh? And what do we do with our prime time, yeah? The 35 years, huh? We use it to work, to earn money for our living, huh? And all what we care about in this life, or what most of the people care about in this life, is looking after the needs of the body. Yeah? If you don't have a body, you don't have to look after the needs of the body. Yeah? And you can only practice. Yeah. But we have this body. Yeah. And we use most of our time, you know, to look after the body. Yeah. But we don't look after the the one who owns this body, yeah? The one who owns this body, yeah, is the citta, yeah? That's why I compared, you know, with the driver and the car. I mean, we constantly look after our car, but we never train the driver, yeah? The driver is, you know, I mean, it's just natural, yeah? If the driver wants to go left, then the car goes left. If the driver wants to go right, then the car goes right, yeah? If the citta wants something, it does it, you know, with its tools, yeah? Because the citta and its tools are different, yeah? The citta has tools, you know, and they are called the five khandhas. And one of the khandha is the body, yeah? And then there's feeling, is another khandha, is another group. And then there's thoughts and memory, you know, and consciousness, yeah? All these things, you know, are the tools of the citta, yeah? This is something we have to understand. Huh? We have to understand, you know, that the body, yeah, and the citta are two different things. That is the most fundamental understanding. Yeah? Otherwise, we will never be able to enter Sotapanna. Yeah? As long as we believe that that the driver of the car, you know, and the car is one and the same thing, yeah, then we have no way to get out, yeah. Think about, you know, the Lord Buddha when he reached enlightenment, yeah. I mean, he knocked on the car of the people, you know, said, "Ah, get out, get out, get out," you know. Look at it, yeah. Huh? Just like you're born in the car and die in the car, then you have to assume you are the car, because you have never gotten out of the car. Huh? So the Lord Buddha, you know, said, okay, knocked on the window, turned down the window, get out of the car, and look, this car and the driver are two different things. Yeah? Then that's what he was teaching us, that the citta and the body are two different things. Yeah? Not only this, yeah, but all the tools, you know, that the feeling is not the citta, yeah? And the thoughts are not the citta, yeah? And memories and associations are not the citta, and even consciousness is not the citta. The citta is beyond consciousness, yeah? Lots of people think that, you know, citta and consciousness or awareness are the same thing. No, yeah? It's not the same thing, yeah? The khanda, the five khandas are the tools of the citta, and this is something we have to understand. So whenever, yeah, that's why he gave us the three characteristics of this universe. Anicca, anatta, and dukkha, yeah. Anicca, yeah, means whatever arises, you know, ceases, yeah. So the body is born, you know, the body dies, yeah. Feeling arises, feeling ceases, yeah. Thought arises, thought ceases. And memory arises, memory ceases. Even consciousness arises and ceases. But it's too fast for us to catch it. We don't catch when we are not conscious. I'm not talking about unconscious, I'm talking about not conscious. Eh? It is like, yeah, I mean, consciousness and not consciousness is like these old movies when we used to go to a film theater, yeah, and when the film was not completely synchronized, we saw a small black bar between the pictures. Yeah? One picture is one moment of consciousness, and then there is a lapse of consciousness, and there's the next picture. Yeah? And we, just like in the movie, I mean, we take the pictures, you know, and make a movie out of it. Yeah? But actually, one picture is one picture, and the next picture is the next picture, but we see a following of these pictures, and that's why we think there is life. There's something, you know, yeah? But we know, you know, I mean, movies are an illusion, yeah? So this fast, you know, this fast dropping of consciousness, yeah, one moment of consciousness, next moment of consciousness, next moment of consciousness, gives us the illusion, you know, that there is this samtilokata, these three kinds of worlds, yeah. And we live in this, and we live in this illusion, yeah. And we don't want to get out of this illusion, because we don't want to know, we just want to do, yeah. We want to earn money, and then we want to buy this, then we want to go there, then we want to do this, yeah? And we never reflect about, why do I need to do this? Yeah? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Yeah? Why am I thinking the things that I'm thinking? Why am I memorizing the things that I'm memorizing? What is the purpose of it? We never reflect upon that, yeah? Actually, this makes us human beings, yeah? Being able to reflect about our own doings, yeah? That's a human being, Homo sapiens, yeah? Most of us are just robots, yeah? I mean, whatever comes in the mind, we follow it, yeah? That's not a human being, it's a robot, yeah? And we know these robots, and they get smarter by the day. They can talk and they can interact now with the human beings, yeah? I mean, sooner or later they are as smart as, you know, as our robots, yeah? If you don't use this awareness, if you don't use this awareness or the ability to reflect upon what we are doing, because we are the only ones who can reflect upon what we are doing, yeah? That is the difference between us and robots, yeah? But most of the people in the world, yeah? I mean, just look at your environment, yeah? Look at your co-workers, yeah? I mean, what do? Yeah? In the morning they get up, they eat something, they go to work, and then, you know, then they might have a beer, you know, and eat something, you know, and then watch telly and then go to sleep. Is that life? Huh? What is this? Yeah. Is this life in us? When we think about, we train this body for 18 years and then we go to work, yeah? And every morning we get up, yeah? And then we eat something, you know, then we do something, we work, you know? And then we eat something and then we work again, and you know, until we are tired and then we, yeah? Then we relax, you know, most of the time, you know, watching illusions, yeah? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of this opportunity as life. Yeah, it's really a waste. Yeah, we have this body, and that's what the Lord Buddha said. You know, the human beings, you know, have the best chance, you know, to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Yeah, because when we die, we are born again. Yeah, because we have not understood. Yeah, just like people. Now, there's the younger people who play these video games, yeah? I mean, once the video game is game over, you know, they play it again. And then they play it again, yeah? And each time they want to become a little bit smarter and smarter, you know, I mean, they want to trick it. And once they're finally, you know, accomplished this game, then they want to play another game. A different kind of game, yeah? It's just like us, you know, with human beings, you know, one time we are human beings, then we are animals, or then we are ghosts, you know, or then we are in heaven, yeah? I mean, it's a different game, yeah? Huh? But the rules of the game are always the same, wherever we are, yeah? No matter be it in heaven, no matter be it in hell or in the ghost realm. The abilities are different because, you know, the game changes, huh? The abilities of a ghost is very different from the abilities of a human being or from the abilities of a deva, yeah, of a heavenly being. Yeah? And we love to play. Yeah? And because we are normally not born as a human being again when we die, we either go up or we go down. Yeah? But we are most of the time we are not becoming a human being again, yeah? So we forget, you know, we forget the things, you know, and then we play this game, you know, then this game is over, then we come back and play another game, yeah? And then we never ask ourselves, you know, when are we going to get bored of these games? How many games have we played, yeah? Do people get bored of playing video games? No. They become more and more attached to it, yeah? Just like people nowadays get more and more attached to the smartphone, yeah? They don't need anybody anymore, yeah? They don't need to contact anybody, they just, you know, yeah? I mean, that's what they do, huh? Look around you, you know, They sit in the bus, you know, even on the motorbike when I go sometimes, you know, the person behind, you know, sits and I mean, they're not really interested, yeah? When we think about ourselves as human beings, you know, being in this world, yeah, we already, you know, according to Buddha, we already are in an illusion, yeah. Now we go into the smartphone area, you know, I mean, we are in the second layer of illusion, yeah. I mean, to get out of this illusion, you know, it's already difficult, yeah. And then we play video games, we are in the third layer of illusion, yeah. To get out of there, you know, it is very difficult, yeah? So throw your smartphone away. Or get a phone, you know, where there is no text messages, yeah? These old kind of phones, yeah? where you just have the numbers, you know, the number buttons, call and end call, yeah? Then you get, yeah, we so easily get deceived by all these things, yeah? We think, you know, I mean, it is fun, yeah? But where is the fun, yeah? I mean, you get a message you don't like, where is the fun in that? You get angry, huh? And then you have to, then you respond to this message, your anger responds to this message, and then the other person gets angry, and then he responds to you. And, you know, the anger boils up, huh? How much fun is it to read to these things, yeah? To go through all these messages that we get, yeah? Some messages, you know, I mean, delude you, yeah, if you do this, you can win a prize, yeah, and so on, yeah. We go for it. You always want something, yeah. This is the desire, this is tanha, the desire, wanting, or not wanting, yeah. That is the cause of our dukkha. It's the second noble truth, yeah. Wanting something, the desire, tanha, the desire to be or the desire to want, you know. Wanting to be something, wanting not to be something, wanting to have something, wanting to be close to somebody, wanting something to happen or not wanting something to happen. That creates a dukkha, And this is something that we have to understand, The first noble truth together with the second noble truth, And we have to make it clear every day, I mean, look at the day, When I teach also in Malaysia or Indonesia, I ask the lay people, to do the daily reflection, to see what is going on in their life. Have you done it? No. That's why we go on, we go and go. And we don't know why we are doing the things we are doing. Because we don't use this reflection. We don't use our ability as Homo sapiens. I mean, how comfortable is it, just to be a robot? It's so comfortable. We are not responsible for anything. Only when we die, we are responsible for our deeds. But while we are doing this, we are not responsible. We just go ahead, follow the kilesas who sit in our ears and tell us to do this and to do that, to like this and to like that, To constantly working around our kuti, Because it's so difficult just to sit and make the mind completely calm. Once the mind is completely calm, when we do our practice of samatha, calm meditation, we stay with the Buddha or we stay with the breath, and every thought or every memory that comes up, we replace with the Buddha or we replace with the attention on the breath until there's no thought coming up, until there's no more memory coming up. This is a state called as the samadhi. In this state of samadhi, there is no future and there is no past. There is no worries because there is no future. So how can we worry? If there is no thought, there is no there are no worries. And there is no fear as well. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're constantly looking for, by buying this or buying that, We want to be free. There is no desire. In this state of samadhi, there is no desire. And this gives us some relief and this shows us, And this also gives us some motivation to work on it. Just the samadhi. When we come out of samadhi, instantly, the kilesas grab hold of us, I mean, samadhi is like a safe house. They cannot enter, That's why we are so happy, The moment we come out the crab house and said, we need this, we need that, we need to go there, we need to go there, we need to do this, we need to do that, And instead of reflecting, do we really need to do it, Do we really need this or that or don't this, We just follow the kilesas, Because they tell us, It's me, it's mine, it's myself, I want, Instead of us using the second principle, the second characteristic of this universe and telling us anatta. It's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. There is a feeling. There is a thought. There is a memory. I mean, who knows that there is a memory? The subject, the chitta knows that there is a memory coming up. The chitta knows that there is a thought coming up. The chitta knows that there is a feeling coming up. How can the feeling and the knowingness be one and the same thing? How can I say, I want? No, there is wanting. Or there is fear. And then we can look at it. But when I say, when I tell myself, I'm afraid, there's no hope. It's hopeless. We constantly have to tell us, there's a feeling, there's a feeling of fear, there's a feeling of worry, there's a feeling of this, there's a feeling of pain, And then we can investigate this feeling, That's why quite essential, to use this principle of anatta, Whatever comes up, whatever, Even the body, it's not me, Because, I mean, who knows that there's a body, even when we close our eyes, we can see it, we can feel the body, When you walk, you can feel the body, you know. I mean, who knows that, of the body, yeah? So you clearly understand, you know, I mean, it is not you, yeah? So the moment we use I, you know, we are in a predicament, yeah? We can't investigate whatever comes up to us, huh? There is a feeling, and then we can look at the feeling. Then we can see what is a feeling, yeah? What is the difference between the feeling of fear? And what is the difference between the feeling of fear and feeling of anger, or feeling of lust, or feeling of this, yeah? What is the difference, huh? We never. We say fear, and that's it, yeah? We say worry, that's it, yeah? And the moment we put on a label, yeah, I mean, that's it. Fixed. End of investigation. No, we don't want to put a label on. We see a feeling, there's a feeling, and then we want to feel it. And then we want to compare it to other feelings that arise. Eh? And then we see, you know, I mean, the feeling of anger and the feeling of lust are not much different. Eh? They're always driving us, yeah? Huh? Ooh, yeah? It doesn't matter. Yeah? This is the way, you know, anicca, yeah, anatta, to use it, you know, to use it in our daily meditation when we get into a problem, yeah, especially there's a problem, yeah, okay, then we can look at the problem. What is the problem? Yeah? Tiredness. What is tiredness? Yeah, I am so tired. Yeah, see, you're already in a predicament. I am tired. Yeah. You cannot do anything. There's tiredness, then we can look at tiredness. How does feel tiredness? And the moment you're interested in tiredness, the tiredness is gone. Huh? The same thing, you know, happens, you know, sometimes in the beginning with pain. Yeah? What is pain? And the moment we look at it, there's no more pain. And the same thing happens, you know, when we look at restlessness. Oh, I'm so restless. Huh? And then we look at restlessness, we get interested in the feeling of restlessness, and restlessness is gone. Because it feeds, you know, it feeds, and then we see, you know, over the time, we see how these things evolve, yeah? How they are made up, yeah? Made up of, yeah? Of the five khandhas, yeah? A thought produces a feeling, you know, produces another thought or a memory, you know, and this memory comes with a feeling, and then it adds up. And then it becomes an emotion, yeah? And the stronger the emotion, the less we can deal with it. Yeah? Instead of cutting, say, there's a feeling, boops, everything disappears. Yeah? Then there's a feeling, you know, we investigate, and if you don't have any thoughts or memories coming up, then it's gone, yeah? Over, yeah? The avalanche is not coming down on us, yeah? But if we go into it, you know, if we let it run, yeah? I mean, sometimes when we have lots of sati, we can see how it evolves. Yeah? And then we can see. But you're only interested in the outside things. You're never interested in what is going on in the heart. Huh? How does the citta, you know, produce all these things? Huh? How does it produce this illusion of this and this and this? Huh? What is an emotion? Huh? How does it evolve? Yeah? We can all watch it. Yeah, we can observe it. Yeah, because there's a citta who knows of it. Yeah. Even the citta, you know, can know of consciousness and non-consciousness. Yeah? It can know it, yeah. But of course, our sati has to be very fast, you know, to catch it. Yeah? But the other things are easier to catch. Yeah? So that is what, you know, what we should reflect upon. Yeah. First, we should get into samadhi. Yeah, and to see, you know, it is also a motivation for us to see. Finally, am I in a safe house? You know, whenever you're in a safe house, you feel safe, yeah? Whenever you come out, you know, the kilesas bombard you, yeah? Constantly wanting, yeah? That's why I sometimes call, you know, the kilesas little kids, you know? They constantly, you know, grab hold of you, you know? Oh, I want this, yeah? Oh, I want that. Oh, I want this. I don't like this. I don't like to eat this. I don't like to eat that, yeah? Whoever has little nephews, you know, and nieces and nephews or kids, you know, I mean, who knows this, yeah? And that's why I call the kilesas, you know, just like these little kids. They constantly want something, yeah? They're never happy. They're never happy with something, yeah? They constantly want this, you know, they constantly want attention, yeah? And that's what the kilesas also want, attention, yeah? They bring up a thought, they want that we attend to it, yeah? Instead of saying, okay, I'm not interested, you know, then this thought disappears instantly. When they get our attention, then we get interested in it, yeah? And then they have something to play with us, yeah? Just like the kid grabs, you know, and then we give in to the kid, yeah? A thought comes, you know, and we give in to this thought, or we give in to the memory, or we give in to the feeling, yeah? And then we are attached to it, yeah? And we have to cut that down, yeah? Through investigation, yeah? And the first thing of investigation, you know, when we do samatha, is the investigation of pain, yeah? Not I'm in pain, not the pain is excruciating, just say there is pain, yeah? And once we see there is pain, then we feel it. When we feel it, you know, then we can look for it. Where is the pain? Yeah? And then we look for it, you know, is it point-wise, is it area-wise, yeah? Is it constant? And then we notice when we can investigate the pain, it's not constant, sometimes it's stronger, then it becomes weaker, then it becomes stronger again, then it becomes weaker again, yeah? We can investigate it, yeah? But if we think we are in pain, then it's the end, yeah? Then we can investigate, and then we can ask, where is it? Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the flesh? Where is it? Yeah? Is it in the muscles? Yeah? I mean, we have muscles, we have flesh, we have bones, you know, we have all these skin, all these things, you know, for 20 years. Why is it only in pain, you know, when I sit in samadhi? Huh? When I'm busy with my smartphone, you know, there is no pain. When I watch a movie, you know, on the telly, you know, there is no pain. Huh? But when I sit in samadhi, there's pain. Huh? This is something, that's why I say, you know, we need reflection. Yeah? We need the ability, you know, to reflect upon what is happening. Otherwise, you know, we believe the Kilesa say, oh yeah, you sit uncomfortable. Yeah, when you watch telly, you don't sit uncomfortable. Huh? Probably more uncomfortable than when you sit in samadhi relaxed, yeah? But there is pain, so what is the pain, you know? Huh? And when you investigate thoroughly, you know, when you slowly come to the right understanding, yeah, then the pain shifts from one point to another point. And then you go to the next point, yeah? Because you really want to understand where is the pain coming from, yeah? First of all, you wanted to understand what is pain, and then you want to understand, you know, where is the pain coming from. So you follow it until it shows you where it arises, yeah? And only when you follow it up to see where it arises, then you understand, yeah, what is pain, yeah? And this we can do, you know, with our samatha. When we sit in samadhi, this is the only investigation we are allowed to do when we sit in samadhi. Any other investigation we are not allowed to do, because we want to concentrate. We want to concentrate and get to the state of samadhi. Yeah? And some of us, you know, even want to go deeper. Not only the samadhi, yeah? Not only the samadhi, not only the safe house, or what is called upachara samadhi, access samadhi. Yeah? We want to go deeper into apana samadhi. We want to really see where everything disappears. Yeah? We want to go to the one-pointedness of the mind, yeah? Or the one-pointedness of the citta, where the subject and object moves into one point, merges into one point, yeah? I mean, this is quite interesting. It's difficult to reach, yeah? But it is quite interesting because, yeah? Before we come into this one-pointedness, I mean, the body, the sensation, first the sensation of the outside completely disappear, huh? And then we focus more and more, you know, towards the citta, then parts of the body disappear. In the end, there's only the small part around the citta that we still are aware of, yeah? And then when we enter one-pointedness, yeah, everything disappears, yeah? There's no thought, there's no memories, there's nothing, and there's no universe, yeah? It's a preview of Nibbana. And I can guarantee you, in the moment when you come out again, yeah, the first thought will be, I want to go back. Because it's so, I mean, it's indescribable, it's, yeah. What did the Lord Buddha say about Nibbana? Supreme happiness, yeah? The happiness already we experience in samadhi, but the supreme happiness is in the one-pointedness. But it's not lasting, that is the problem. Yeah? We are torn out, yeah. Sometimes, you know, only after a second, you know, we come back, yeah. Sometimes, you know, we can stay there for an hour, or sometimes we can stay there for a day, yeah. And the longer we can stay there, when we come back, we see how this whole world is created. We can clearly see it, yeah? Because when you come back, you know, I mean, slowly, you know, memories come back, thoughts come back, you know, feelings come back, and so on. And then we see how our world that we live in is created, yeah? By these five khandhas. Before they didn't exist, you know, when we were in one-pointedness, there was no body, there was no feeling, there was nothing, yeah? There was no universe, yeah? It was just the pure knowing that. Huh? And then we come out of it, and then slowly, you know, it creates the world that we live in. Yeah? If you've been for a longer time, you know, first of all, you're completely confused, you know, what is happening? Where am I? What am I? Where am I? You know, what is happening? Yeah? But slowly, you know, memories and thoughts are coming up and to create your world that you live in, yeah? And then you're back to normal life, yeah? And then the kilesas come and torment you, yeah? You like to be tormented, yeah? Why don't you get rid of the tormentor, yeah? I mean, are we all masochists, or? We like to be tormented by the kilesas, yeah? Only when we give in to the kilesas, you know, I mean, yeah, then this is the relief, yeah? it's like these Western people who go to Thailand or go to Malaysia, yeah? they lie in the sun until they can't bear the heat anymore, then they go in the cold water until they can't bear the cold anymore, then they go and lie in the sun, you know? It's extreme, yeah? And until they can't bear the heat anymore, then they go again in the cold water in the evening, say, wonderful day. I mean, I tell them, you don't have to go to Thailand or Malaysia, you know, just put a coal, you know, hot coals, you know, here and a cold bucket of water, just put your hand in there, you know, I mean, you feel the heat, and then you put it in the ice water, you know, you feel the cold. That's it, yeah? That is called excitement. And we are always looking after this excitement, yeah? And one of the biggest excitement is sexual desire, yeah? And we do the same thing with it. You know, we heat ourselves up until we can find relief. Yeah. No? Yes. It's all about this, yeah? I mean, think about this, yeah? When I give this example. Then I was stupid. When I was doing the same thing, I went to Thailand, you know, and, yeah? But now I don't go out in the sun because I don't want to get heated up. Yeah? So. But this is the principle of excitement, yeah? And when you say, I'm excited, that is something that is very positive, yeah? But when you're negatively excited, yeah? Because anger is also excitement, yeah? Then you call it negative, yeah? I don't want this, yeah? And then you want to throw the fire of this excitement on somebody else. The tea burns himself, yeah? That's not the way. That's not good. Okay, you understand? Huh? So I think I talked enough. Yeah? You have some questions? Yeah? Can you speak louder?
Just now you mentioned about reflection, daily reflection. I've read in the book also, but I don't have the exact way to do it. Can you please guide
me? I talk very often about daily reflection. What we do is, in the evening or in the late afternoon, when we are first, we need to get the mind calm, yeah, and then we go, yeah, and then we sit down, and we close our eyes and try to remember with what kind of thought or what kind of memory we woke up, yeah. Maybe we can remember, maybe we cannot remember. Then after waking up, what did I do? Yeah? Did I just turn around and slept again? Yeah? Until I woke up again? Yeah? And so on. Yeah? And then what did I do after waking up? What kind of thoughts? What kind of feelings were there? Then I washed my face, yeah? When I washed my face, what kind of feelings, what kind of thoughts were there? Then I went to, you know, when walking meditation, okay, yeah? I mean, look at the walking meditation, yeah? Was I concentrated or not, you know? Or did I get any result? And then we go to the next thing, yeah? Meditation, we normally don't need to reflect very much about it, yeah? But why did I get up from walking? Why did I stop walking meditation? Yeah, that is important. Yeah, and what did I do then? Yeah, and I was sitting. Yeah, and then what made me get up from sitting meditation? Yeah, and so on until you arrive and sweeping. What happened when I swept? You know, or when I kept the dishes or things like that. What kind of thoughts? What kind of memories came up during the time? If you can't remember, then just skip to the next, yeah? And don't judge these things. Don't say it was good or it was bad. Because that is not the purpose of our thing, yeah? That's not the purpose of reflection. Reflection is the objective knowing what was going on. If there was a bad thought, don't say it was a bad thought, just look at the thought. If there was an action that you think it was bad, just look at the action, yeah? Because these labels, you know, fool you, yeah? And that's why I said, don't judge, yeah? Don't put labels on it if it was good or bad, you know, or if it was helpful or wholesome or not wholesome. The citta already knows it, yeah? You don't have to put a false label on it, yeah? Sometimes the labels are correct, sometimes, most of the time, the labels are not correct that you put on, yeah? The citta knows if it was wholesome or unwholesome, yeah? And if you do that over and over every day, the citta will learn from it, yeah? And it won't do the things that harm the citta, yeah? It will not be interested in, you know, putting the hand into the fire, yeah? You say, there's the fire. And the citta then knows, there's the fire. Yeah? Don't touch it, yeah? But we are like these kids, you know, I mean, who have their hand on the stove, you know, and look in the other direction and see a cat there and say, this cat, you know, that brings me on fire, yeah? Or this person brings me on fire, or this thing, you know, or this thunder brings me on fire. They know it, never look, you know, huh? Where the hand is, yeah? Because if they look where the hand is and they see it's on the stove, you don't have to tell them to retract it. It's gone automatic, yeah? And that's what we teach the heart, yeah? To learn the heart, to teach the heart, you know, what it is doing, yeah? To be aware, to be conscious, to be aware of what it is doing, yeah? To know why it is doing it, yeah? And through that process, we know and understand, and that is called that's what I call the daily reflection, yeah? That's how we understand what is going on in our life, yeah? I mean, the problems that you have at work with your boss, yeah? I mean, you will see, every day you will see a little bit clearer what is actually the problem, yeah? Every day you go to work, you know, and you have some issues with some of the colleagues, yeah? But you don't know what is the real issue because you don't reflect about it. Yeah? If you do this reflection, if you look at the situation, yeah, when you interact with the colleague, yeah, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, yeah? And when you look, you know, what happened in the morning, yeah? With what kind of thought? If you went out of bed with the wrong foot, you know, I mean the whole day is miserable, yeah? It paints the day, yeah? Or some bad thoughts, or some bad memories, or something bad happens, and then the rest of the day is bad, yeah? Or something good happens, and the rest of the day, yeah? When you see, you know, I mean, you see the interaction with your colleagues or with your boss, yeah? And when you look at the mood, yeah, before you have the interaction, if the mood is good, yeah, then whatever this person says, you know, I mean, you just brush it off, yeah? But if your mood is bad, you know, whatever this person, it says the same thing, you know. And then you get angry and then you think he's at fault, yeah. This is the purpose, yeah? And the daily reflection, especially for the lay people, but also for the monks here, especially for the lay people, you know, gets rid of a lot of the problems that we have in the world. Yeah? It shows us, you know, it shows us the difficulties, yeah? And it's all in our heart, yeah? Okay, understood?
How if when we have some interaction with people in the morning, and then in the afternoon, it just reflects back, but the Dharma tell us that that's just your thought, that's just your memory, that's just your thinking.
We don't want that. We just want to look, huh? We don't want to reflect back, you know, because that's what you just said is judging. Huh? I mean, even if it is Dharma, if it says, oh, this was just Dharma, or this was just a song, it's judging, yeah? We want to go to the situation, to the moment where things happen, to understand. And it is, you know, I mean, it's not for us to understand with our mind. It is for the heart to understand. We have to show the heart what it's doing, and why it is doing, and what the effects of it, yeah? When we see in the evening, you know, this, yeah, and then reflect on the situation and said, oh, this was a bad handling, that is not reflection. We want to go to the situation, look at it, and do not judge it, don't say it's good or bad, yeah?
And let it pass.
Yeah? And over the time, if we do that regularly, over the time we understand, the heart understands, yeah, what it is doing, yeah? And then you understand your own reactions toward this person or toward what you were doing, yeah? And if it was wholesome, you know, then the heart wants to do it again. If it was unwholesome, then the heart doesn't want to do it again. If you judge it, you know, by saying, oh, this was Dharma or this was the Kilesas, I mean, it doesn't help you.
It makes you feel better.
it might make you feel better, you know, because you think I'm a Dharma person, but that is just a thought. It is not reality that you're a Dharma person. Yeah? It's a thought that, you know, just like, you know, the thought, I'm beautiful or I'm strong. It's a thought. Has nothing to do with reality. Huh? The reality is here in the heart. The moment you close your eyes, you feel the reality. That's the reality. Yeah? And whatever label you put on, this is Dharma or this is not Dharma, yeah? I mean, it has nothing, you know, it has no substance. Yeah? Okay? Yeah?
What is that? Can you go into more detail on one type of investigation to do in Shamatha?
What?
What's the one type of investigation you said was okay to do?
The pain investigation.
In the daily reflection, we shouldn't judge good, bad, wholesome, unwholesome.
Yeah, but we are likely to judge.
Yeah. In the moment, during the day, when you're about to say the thing, when you're about to make the action.
Yeah.
Then you judge. To either, you know, give yourself the go-ahead to, like, yes, I can say it, or no, I shouldn't say it.
This is not judgment. I would call it analysis, yeah? Yeah? This is analysis, you know. Then you say, I want to do this, yeah? And then you ask yourself, is it within the 8 precepts? Yeah? If it is within the 8 precepts, let's do it and see the results, yeah?
It's not judgment.
Yeah? It's not judging, yeah? It's analysis, you know. I mean, okay, yeah? What am I doing? What do I want to do? You look at these things, you look at the factors, yeah? And if, as long as it is within the 8 precepts, or for the lay people within the 5 precepts, you go ahead and do it and look at the results. If you don't look at the results, you know, you will do it forever and ever, yeah? And that's where the reflection comes in, yeah? Because after we've did something, you know, we never look at the results, yeah? But with the reflection, we look at the results, yeah? Okay? Yeah?
Shouldn't we reflect first and we know the result before we go ahead to do it? So if the result is not good, we don't do it.
Yeah, but that is judgment, yeah? You don't know really if it is good or not good, yeah? Huh?
Then it will be too late then,
As long, you see, you want to do it, yeah? And I mean, if you have previous experience of it, you know, and say, you know, this didn't give me good results, yeah? Then you don't want to do it, yeah? And then you stop doing it, yeah? But if you don't know, or if you're not sure, yeah? And as long as it is within the 5 or 8 precepts, for you, 8 precepts, yeah? Then go ahead and do it. And then look at the results. Yeah? But don't judge the results. Look how your heart feels. Yeah? If your heart is excited, you know, it always means, you know, this was not good. Yeah? If you want to do something and the heart gets really, you know, pushed up, then it's nothing good. Yeah? Yeah? You can let it go instantly. Yeah? But if your heart is calm, yeah, then just go ahead and do it, you know, and look at the results later on. Yeah? The judgment is the problem, you know. We judge things, you know, wrongly. Yeah? And we want to overcome this judgment. Yeah, we want to let the heart judge be the judge. Because the heart knows what is wholesome and the heart knows what is unwholesome. But because of our education, because of our upbringing, we are trained, you know, to judge this as bad and this as good. Yeah, but we don't know if it's really that bad or it's really that good. Yeah. People now in the world says, you know, if you have a lot of money, this is good, yeah? But is it really good, yeah? Huh? If you have a lot of power, this is good, yeah? Or doing this, this is good, and this is bad, yeah? And keep in line with what the Buddha says, you know, don't do evil, you know, and do good, yeah? Hmm? But first of all, we have to learn what is good and what is evil, yeah? What is wholesome and what is not wholesome. And we can get that, yeah? We can get the wisdom through our reflection, yeah? Okay? If there are no more questions, then we end. Yeah. It's late already. I'm already exhausted. It's 6 o'clock. Huh? Use the time, yeah? Don't sleep so much. Don't sleep so much! Some people come here to sleep, yeah? They just want to relax and break. Ah, nice, yeah?